Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Inside Your Business on Kaya Biz. Inside Your Business is made possible by iWise, the wise insurance choice for your car, home, life and more.
It's about 5 minutes to 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. An intriguing question that we have for many of you as South Africans, and one that, yeah, even I have to respond to as a South African myself. But are you adequately prepared for your retirement? What does that look like? What does it feel like? What does the maths actually indicate? Well, we're going to take a look at the latest 2024 FNB Retirement Insights Survey. The numbers might not look too good, but beyond that, there's some solutions that we're going to implement. We're joined now by the CEO of Wealth and Investments at FNB, Begi Mkhize, to give us some insight into this. Mr. Mkhize, such a pleasure to touch base with you again.
Good evening, Gugu. Good evening to your listeners.
Always exciting to speak to you, Begi. And I guess when we think about retirement, some of us think that we'll be forever young, right? Oh, in good health and able to earn a sustainable income, which still might be some prospects and possible. But the reality is that we as South Africans also need to exercise a heightened level of financial discipline. Is that what the report and insight survey is sharing?
That is correct, Gugu. I think the report, once again, similar to themes that came through last year, is showing that our people are not adequately prepared for retirement. And that's due to many reasons, some that came through around economic challenges. They've got, you know, immediate financial obligations rather than saving for long term. There were things around knowledge and information gaps that people may have, but the view is people think, you know, they'll be able to get to the retirement topic and planning for retirement one day, rather than starting early to start to put money aside for that eventuality. And it comes quite quickly. If we look at some of the questions that we asked some of the people who have retired and what they regret, and they quickly highlighted that it came quite quickly and they were wholly inadequately prepared. So your comment is spot on.
And maybe let's talk about what actually leads to this level of a lack of preparedness. And I'm hoping you can give us some insight into what the study does show, primarily for pre-retirement respondees. Is it a lack of income? Is it a lack of understanding of the products and tools available? Help us add some color to the numbers.
I think it's a combination of factors. So what we picked up from the insights is there's also quite a high level of debt. I mean, only 17% of our respondents had no debt, and our sample size was quite good and a credible sample. We also picked up a lot of that debt is relating to retail stores. It was credit cards, it was loans, personal loans, loans from banks, loans from family members, loans, lay-bys, and, you know, buy now, pay later type things. So none of those, the big themes around the loans and credit was around, you know, homes or a business or that type of thing that came through. So those are impediments that are coming through for people. There was also issues around, just general price increases that have led to less income available to save for retirement. So things around, you know, food and transport prices being quite expensive. Those came through as part of, you know, broader economic challenges. And some people, you know, have stopped working for whatever reason, and those have also impacted their ability to save and save for retirement. So those are some of the themes that were quite strong that came through in terms of the impediments or people not adequately saving, and the lack of information and knowledge also came through, particularly in our lower segments. So we saw quite a disparity in terms of the higher segments. The higher income segments tend to have better planning and have access to advice, and then the lower income segment, which is the broad base of our society, had a lot less access to advice and less access to information. And the information that they did gather was mostly from friends and family, and sometimes, you know, sometimes it's not the best advice in terms of how to manage your money.
Yeah, very true. Unless your friends work at a bank like you do or host a business show like me, then hopefully we can guide you in the right direction. I'm teasing though, Peggy. But on a more serious note, what's so refreshing about the report is that FNB really does give you a 360 view of consumer segments, whether it's entry banking and wallet or those within the wealth division. And this helps us contextualize and understand how different income segments actually plan and prepare for retirement. Are there nuances and specific differences to their behavior?
Yes, correct. There definitely are nuances that we picked up. In the upper income segments, for instance, if we think of financial wellness and do people have enough saved, let's say, for emergency, they had a little bit more than the lower income segments. You know, are people managing their debt better? The lower income segments were not as good as some of the upper segments. In terms of just providing for retirement as well, the upper segments tended to provide more access to the type of products like retirement annuities. We saw the upper segments having more of those than the lower segments. So I think that there is that a divide, but also in terms of disposable incomes and available amounts available to save after you've paid for everything, I think the upper segments had some left over, whereas the lower segments, I think there was always sort of very little in, as you moved down the income segmentation. So that showed the disparity between, you know, the higher income segments versus the lower income segments, and the focus that we as financial institutions need to have in terms of helping some of the lower income segments with some of those retirement planning and goals for retirement.
And I think this is important because perhaps, as you say, given the amount or limitations on exposure, this is where we also find different nuances in terms of the tools or asset classes that we believe can help us live a comfortable level of retirement. I do see others look for stock funds, whilst some entrepreneurs believe their businesses will carry them into retirement. Is that also just a key highlight of the report?
Yes, that also came through quite strongly in terms of the type of savings products. In the lower income segment, where people did save, it was in, you know, either bank savings, some was, you know, under mattress, some was stock felt. In the upper segments, it tended to be property. Property was a big component of where people do save. Then there was also then some retirement type products like retirement annuities, and access to unit trusts, etc., into the market as you moved higher in the income segment. So yes, there were disparities as well in terms of what people actually the vehicles that they use to save, those who do.
Got you. I'm so intrigued because it's not just about, you know, reaching the age of retirement, but what we are finding is that even retirees find ways of keeping themselves busy. That's what I've witnessed with my parents who are into their 60s now. And maybe that's also an aspect you can help us clarify in terms of how retirees or those who are post-retirement are now managing their finances in order to maintain that level of comfortability.
Yes, so Google, we did also then segment between, like you're saying, between those who have not yet reached retirement or pre-retirees and those that have reached retirement. One of the things that, you know, we're picking up, and it's a stronger trend, is retirement is now no longer a date in time where people actually say, okay, I stop working. It's a transition into almost, we're seeing a pattern of people either taking up second careers, finding other avenues to get income. Some are studying to further, you know, go into whatever maybe their passion was that they can earn an income. Those were some of the themes that came through quite strongly in terms of people trying to access alternative sources of income. There were also some where we saw in the retirement space quite strongly that, you know, heavy reliance on other sources, like, you know, some form of a grant where people didn't have access to enough or any retirement savings. And then we also saw reliance on family members. So a lot of the retirees were also relying on their kids for income, which is a challenge, because then it means we can't break, you know, that cycle of the sandwich generation that has to not only worry about their kids, but also worry about their parents in terms of money. And that's a big challenge across, you know, that came through quite strongly, that some of those retirees are actually dependent on their children, which is a concern.
100%. Biggie, what are the key lessons that we need to take away from this report? Because the last thing we want is South Africans to feel disgruntled or despair or in despair that they don't have enough for their retirement savings, or they might not be using the most appropriate models. But I guess, what lessons do we need to learn, and how do we need to implement them going forward in our financial journeys?
Okay. If I just look at, I mean, the easy way to answer that, looking at the survey, was we asked those who had reached retirement, what are their regrets and what do they think they could have done differently? Because it actually then answered what people need to be doing. So the first thing they said, they wish they had started earlier investing or saving, which makes sense. The earlier you start, the more likely you are to have an outcome that gets you towards your retirement. So the sooner you start, we talk about, you know, not one day, make it day one isn't today. They wish they had kept, the second one was they wish they had kept on top of their finances and not allowed, you know, short-term consumerism or to drive some of their behavior, rather also thinking long-term, almost the thing around, you know, spend after you've saved rather than save after you spend. So that was the second one. The third one was they wished they had sought advice and educated themselves a lot earlier. So either professional advice or educated themselves. So I think that's also something that, you know, we can all do as a society. The fourth one was they wished they had, you know, investments beyond just what they knew, which was savings or in a bank deposit or stock funds. That's the other thing that people raised. And then the other one was they wished they had, you know, stable employment at some points in time. So some of the people, you know, gave feedback that they maybe sometimes made rash decisions in their careers at some points in time. That was also something that I think, you know, and linked to that was they wish they hadn't cashed out their retirement savings when they did change employment. And I think that's something, you know, the two-pot system that's coming into play in September will help us address, because that's also a big impediment on our retirement savings that we've seen, is that when people change jobs, they typically cash out. And then one of the other ones that ranked, but it wasn't top five, it was, I think, number six or seven, was people wish they had married the right partner. And it's amazing how you might underestimate that, but that can actually be a destroyer of value or add value. So that's those are few themes that came from the report.
Ms. Mkhize, we're going to have a whole nother interview just on that subject matter. Trust me, I think our listeners would be intrigued to hear more about that and also share some of the experiences. But we're really appreciative that you've shared this insight with us. And I'm assuming for anyone who wants to read up on this data, it is available on your website?
Correct. It's on our website. You can get access to all the information. We've got an e-booklet. We've got a lot of data around that information. We've got stuff on LinkedIn, on various social media platforms that we've put out today. So on X as well. So we've made sure that all the information is accessible and available to people.
100%. And if there's any key takeaways we learn from that, is understanding what it is we can implement by learning from the mistakes of others. And some solid pieces of advice have been shared there. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Biggie. Truly appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Biggie Mkhize, CEO of Wealth and Investments at FNB, giving us an update into the latest 2024 FNB Retirement Insights Survey. helping us understand what we are doing pre-retirement as we seek options to save adequately for retirement, and even post, what learnings and lessons it is that we can impart. And of course, quite a few that have been shared there. Start a lot earlier. Understand the products that are available to you. Of course, even marrying the right partner.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.